When we think of partners of shutfim, there are many different characteristics of a partnership or of a shutfus that come to mind. In some areas of halacha, some of those characteristics will play a more dominant role. In other areas of halacha, other characteristics will play a more dominant role. This idea and some of the halachically relevant dimensions of a partnership are brought to the fore by the Gemara in Zvach and Daf Hei and Daf Vav. The Gemara presents us what seems to basically be a stira, a contradiction, between two halachos. On the one hand, with regard to Karban Mincha, heirs, Yorshim, are not considered to be partners with one another. On the other hand, with regard to the halachos of Temura, of exchanging, the ability of an owner to exchange one animal which has Kedusha for a different animal which doesn't have Kedusha, there we say that these same Yorshim, these same heirs, are indeed treated as partners. So what's going on here? The Yarshim, in some ways, are treated like Shutfim, are treated like partners, and in other ways are not treated like Shutfim. So clearly, what the Yarshim possess are some characteristics or dimensions that they share in common with Shutfim, and other dimensions in which they differ from Shutfim. The dimensions which they share in common are controlling, they help us, they are the ones which are significant when it comes to the ability to make a temura, or the lack thereof. Those things which they have in common with Shutfim prevent them from making a temura, just like Shutfim are prevented and are not able to make a temura. But in contrast, when it comes to bringing a Karban Mincha, Shutfim cannot bring a Karban Mincha, but Yorshim could bring a Karban Mincha. And the reason, says the Gemara, is because those characteristics, which are important for blocking and preventing a person from bringing a Karban Mincha, are only present by Shutfim and are not present by Yorshim. So let's see, based on what the comments of Rishonim on the Gemara, if we can analyze or isolate which characteristics the Yarshim share in common with Shutfim and which characteristics they don't. And also, based on this, what about it? What is it about Shutfim that does not allow them to bring a Karban Mincha and does not allow them to make a Temura? So there seem to be three different shitos in Rishonim about what it is that Yarshim share in common with Shutfim and how Yarshim differ from Shutfim. The first approach is that taken by the Shita Mekubetzes on Daf Kuf, on Daf Vav Amud Aleph. The Shita Mekubetzes explains that what these Yarshim have, they had a father. Their father was the one who is mafresh the carbon. Their father was the one who set the carbon on its trajectory to ultimately be offered in the Beis HaMikdash. And he was the one for whom the carbon was destined to be offered on his behalf. And he was the one who was destined to get a kapara from that carbon. And as such, in the life of this carbon, the Av, who since deceased, is the prime mover and shaker. The Yarshim, who took over for the Av, are considered to be merely secondary. And this is why, says the Shitum and Kubetzes, this is why the Yarshim are allowed to offer the Karban Mincha. Because they're not the primary human beings which feature most prominently in the life or in the history of this carbon. It was their father. And their father was one person. It's only one person who featured incredibly prominently in the history of this carbon, and that's a father. Therefore, they're allowed to bring a carbon mincha. Because what the problem with Shutfim bringing a carbon mincha is that there's competition. There are two people who feature just as prominently, equally prominently, by the Karban Mincha. And here, because they're Yorshim, not Shutvim, they're both second level players. The father is a primary star of the show with the life of this Karban, and therefore they can still bring a Mincha. On the other hand, when it comes to Temura, we'll say otherwise. When it comes to Temura, even though both of them are secondary, or perhaps precisely because they're secondary, they cannot make a Temura. It's the father's right. The father was the one for whom the Karban was destined to be Mechaper. He was the one who was Mafrish the Karban, and for whom the Kapara was destined, and therefore he and he alone has the right to make the Karban into a Temura. The Yarshim, who simply fill in their father's shoes, are not able to make a Temura. The Kasha on this Pshat of the Shita Mekubetzes, very briefly, is the other din which the Gemara mentions on that Vav Amud Aleph, namely, that if there aren't two Yarshim, but there's only a single Yoresh, one father, one son, that single Yoresh is allowed to make the Karban into a Temura. And on the surface, it's difficult to understand. If we assume that the Yarshim cannot make this Karban a Temura, because it's their father was the one, was the star of this Karban's history, was the star of this Karban's show, and they are nobodies, so why does it make a difference if there are two Yarshim or if there's one Yoresh? At the end of the day, the Yarshim are nobodies, and the father is the only one who matters. It's a bit of a difficult kasha. One possibility, as we can say, that maybe the relationship of a Yoresh Yachid, of a single heir, one person who's inheriting all of their ancestors' assets, is much, much stronger to the Av than the relationship of many heirs, because each heir dilutes the relationship, makes it more diffuse. A single heir may have the strongest relationship. Psychologically, this may not be true. Halachically, one can adduce a parallel from a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara discusses Yorshim Shachalku, Achim Shachalku, two brothers who split up property. How do we treat their division of the estate? Do we treat it as if the estate belonged to both of them in partnership, and then one bought half of it from the other, and the other bought the other half from the first? Or do we say then, no, that there's a natural split, that whatever they determine to be the division of the estate, it's as if this one directly received half of his father's assets, and that one directly received half of their father's assets? We don't treat it as if they both received all the assets and then purchased from one another. In Teich HaDvarim, the Gemara has a discussion about this, and it says that with regard to Yerushas Eretz Yisrael, you're only allowed to bring Bikurim and say the Psukim of Bikurim, perhaps if you are the owner of the land and not simply you're not simply leasing the land. If you're leasing the land, it's going to go back to somebody else every Yovel, every 50th year, so then you don't say the Psukim of Bikurim. It's only if you're the owner that you say Bikurim. The Gemara says that according to one man, the Amar, the only person who's considered to be an owner of their ancestral land is a person who's descended ben achar ben, a single son after single son, from Yoshua ben Nun. Anytime that there's two brothers, so it's as if they both receive everything together and then they have to buy it from one another, in which case they're considered to be leasing it from one another. It's not such a good parallel, but according to the Shita Mekubetzes, it seems pretty clear that there is a stronger relationship in terms of a single heir taking over from the father, as opposed to two or more heirs who are simply considered secondary to the father. And that's the Shita Mekubetzes' pshat. Tosfos and Rashi seem to have slightly different pshatim. Tosfos explains that a Karban Mincha can be brought by Yarshim, not so much because the father is primary and he holds it together, he's an individual, and therefore they can bring it because the father's an individual. Rather, the reason that the Yarshim can bring this Karban Mincha and are not considered to be like Shutvim, they're not considered to be like partners, says Tosfos, is because neither of them have a strong stake in this carbon. Not so much because the father had a strong stake and he's an individual, so we can bring the carbon because of him, but rather it's the fact that they don't have such a strong stake. Partners ordinarily both have a very strong stake in everything that they're involved in. They both have a very strong type of bailos. But both of these yarshim, lashon ha-gemara, they have kapara mikufya, not kapara mikiva, and because what they both possess is something weaker, that's why they're not considered to be shutfim to bring the carbon mincha. In contrast, when it comes to being oset temura, so this weaker level of bailos that they both have is sufficient already to prevent them from both making a temura. That's the pshat in Tosfos, and Tosfos will tell you again, you have to resolve why it is that a single yorish, who also only has this weaker level of bailos, is capable of making a temura. But it'll be easier to resolve this for Tosfos, because we can simply say that one of the characteristics of a shutfos is that there's two people. One person does not have that characteristic. So by temura, the reason that the yarshim can make a temura is not because the father is primary and they're only secondary. It's because there's two of them. Two people in general can't make a temura. When there's only one person, a single yorish, it's not because he has a stronger seiruf and connection to the father and therefore is considered to be more in the father's place and therefore has more of the father's privileges, but rather it's because he's an individual. Leave the father out of the picture. He's an individual, therefore he can make a temura. Two yarshim are a pair and therefore they cannot make a temura because only individuals can make temuras and not pairs, regardless of whether the pair is a pair with a high-level bailus or a pair with a low-level bailus. This is pshat that seems to emerge from Tosfos. Rashi adapts a third pshat. Rashi says, essentially, that the yarshim are considered to be one person. It's not as if that it's because of the father. It's not because there's a lack of two high-level bailuses. It's because the yarshim are technically considered to be one person, as if the father is personified in the persons of the yarshim. They, like the lashon ha-gemara, brak haradavua, they're like their father's feet, they're like his knees. It's as if he's still alive when they're bringing the carbon, and therefore they're allowed to bring the carbon because they're considered to be them. The two of them are considered to be as if they're one single individual. In contrast, when it comes to temura, so they are considered to be shotvim, because there's a gzeiras hakasuv, says Rashi. A gzeiras hakasuv says that even though these two yarshim are considered to be an individual with regard to karban mincha, the Torah said if there's two bodies, two minds that have control over the fate of this karban, now that the father is deceased, they can't make it temura. Okay, it's different. It's not tali in their status as an individual, as a fill-in for the father. Two bodies, two minds, whatever it may be, two people can't make a temura. Tali much more in the practical, physical reality rather than in some sort of a conceptual idea of the heirs with regard to the estate being considered an embodiment of the father. And then why can one yorish make a temura? Why can one yorish make a temura? Very simply, because he's one body, he's one mind, so therefore he's never excluded from making a temura. So what emerges is that there are, we don't have time to summarize, but there are a number of characteristics which yarshim share with shutfim, others which they don't share with shutfim, and there's machlokas we've shown him which of these characteristics is controlling for karban mincha and for asiyas temura.